Donald in the kitchen talks about food. Donald in the kitchen talks recipes. Donald in the kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donald in the kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Priskintos.
We get together here once a week at the studios of KHOI Community Radio to talk about food, farming advice, recipes, and opinions. And we get by with a little help from our friends.
Oh, yes. The Donald in the kitchen show is sponsored in part by Practical Farmers of Iowa, a member-based, farmer-led nonprofit organization that has been strengthening farms and communities through farmer-led investigations and information sharing since 1985. You can find out more at their website, practicalfarmers.org. And the Donald in the kitchen is also sponsored by the Mucky Duck Pub, where pub means community. Find out more about their annual Birds Night Supper to be held on Friday, January 25th at Ryman Gardens, coming right up. For more information, go to themuckyduckpub.com or call the pub and ask for Marcus.
Thanks to our supporters and thanks to everyone who tunes in. We had a dandy holiday despite the lack of snow. I'm full of holiday food.
Yeah, I'm just pretending like it's April right
now. All right. Okay? That was good. We had some very good April holiday things. It was very nice. And oh, good food. Today on the Donald in the Kitchen, we're going to look into an annual Ames event, and it happens all over the world, too. This year, it falls on a very auspicious date, January 25th. The Robert Burns Dinner is coming up and coming here to Ames, and here to talk about the Robert Burns celebration with us today is Marcus Johnson and April Roy. Thank you for being with us today.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Great. What a nice way to start the year. I had the good fortune of attending my first Burns Night dinner last year. It was at the Prairie Moon Winery last year. There were bagpipes, there was whiskey, there was haggis, there was dancing, there was men in kilts.
My favorite. I love to see the men in kilts.
And I asked many people as I went through the evening who this Robert Burns guy was and what was the cause of such a fine celebration. I met a fine gentleman there named Paul McDonald, and here's what he had to say.
Well, Robert Burns is still celebrated as one of our most memorable poets. His words and his way of using the language and to express emotions and engage with the listener, remarkable. He still does that today, and so it's only right that we honour the man.
So that was a little bit of what went on last year, and guess what? It's going to happen again. Marcus,
is the same lovely man coming back?
Yes, he is, in fact, coming back this year. We're very happy to have Mr. McDonald joining us again for the Burns Supper and for the Midwest Intensive Workshop on Swords and Swordsmanship.
Midwest Intensive Workshop on Swords?
I think that's right, yep.
Do tell.
Forget the pitchforks. Let's bring on the swords.
Well, Paul McDonald is also a maestro swordsman and sword maker out of Edinburgh, Scotland. And he has been with us the last 2 years. I'm sorry, this will be his second year, bringing the Midwest Highland Intensive Sword Training Camp to Ames, Iowa.
And how fabulous.
Yes.
Boy, we are so multicultural here.
Yeah. Mm. And he's actually a real Scotsman from Scotland.
We could tell from the accent.
it's so nice to have a culture and an event that celebrates language. I don't know exactly all the time what they're saying, but it is so beautiful.
It's close enough to American that we can understand them, right? So what are they doing at the sword workshop? Are you making them or playing with them or blah, blah, blah?
Well, he would say not playing. he is a maestro swordsman, mm-hmm. and that means he is an instructor, mm-hmm. a worldwide known instructor in all sorts of weapons. Blades, yes.
Right.
We're going to be concentrating on the longsword, the Highland backsword, FS knives, which is the Fairbairn Sykes commando knives from World War II. And the Dirk and Targe, and the Targe is the shield That's the Gaelic word for shield. Mm-hmm. And the dirk is more or less a dagger. That's how I'll describe it at this point.
So you hold the shield and you have a dagger?
That's true, yes.
So the dagger being a shorter blade.
That's correct.
Means you have to get, like, really close,
right? It's close work, yes, it can be. We do have those five classes available. It's the Saturday and Sunday following Bird's Dinner. If you're interested in finding out more, as we do plan on having this event every year, you can find out on our Facebook page. It's just under Midwest Highland Intensive. Or we do have our ticket page, which is still up and running.
It's just called Midwest Highland Intensive?
Yes.
That could be a cattle club. I mean, there are Highland cattle.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, not here. I don't think there are too many around here.
There might be in Iowa. You never know. We have a lot of cows.
Actually, there is somewhere in Iowa that has a flock. Flock? No.
A grouping.
A grouping.
We have a lot of Highland influences
That's
here,
true.
Right?
That's true. But I'm sorry. The other place to find out more about it is our ticketing site, which is ticketbud.com. And if you do a search for the event, there's a place there to do an event search.
What do you search? Swords?
Midwest Highland Intensive.
Okay. Midwest Highland Intensive.
Got it. Right. Very good. So that sort of sets the mood for this whole thing, and it has to do with warriors and the Scottish heritage. Marcus, there's food involved with this. What goes on in a Burns night?
Well, it's a...
Whiskey.
Whiskey.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, whiskey galore.
Whiskey and men in skirts.
Kilts. You know what they say about that. The first last person who called it a skirt got kilt.
They've got those dirks. You got to be careful. It's kilt.
Do you know how they tell if it's a real Scotsman?
If he's wearing underwear?
Yes.
Oh.
This is a family show.
April's frowning now.
See, already the show is just hitting his head. Marcus, let's get back to the Burns Night.
Back to business.
Event.
Yes. So obviously the goal is to celebrate the life and works of Burns, which we do through eating, drinking.
But he is a poet, right? Or
yes, a poet, writer, wrote songs, Auld Lang Syne, for example.
You may not know his name.
What's the period of his lifespan, sort of?
18th century.
We're going way back there.
So we're basically celebrating his life like one does. And that involves a little party where we drink good Scotch whiskey, eat good food, read poetry, and then finally dance. And so there'll be a ceilidh at the end where you could look that up on Google.
Ceilidh.
If you can spell it.
With a K?
Yeah. No.
With a C.
With a C and some inflection marks at various points. But
So it's a Gaelic word, right?
C-E-I-L-I-D-H.
Oh.
Yeah.
G.
Yeah. Hard to guess that one.
It means a dance? Or it's a kind of?
Dance, party, gathering, party. Where friends have fun together.
Involving music, food, and whiskey?
Generally.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Robert Burns as a poet, or as a writer, as someone who celebrates Scottish culture, you'd be surprised how his work does pop up every now and then. You wouldn't think. He's kind of like, now we have like Bob Dylan, Bruce Springsteen. People would go, you'd get together and do this stuff, except it's Robert Burns. For instance, he did this one. Oh, my love's like a red, red rose that's newly sprung in June. Oh, my love's like the melody that's sweetly played in tune. And fair art thou, my bonny lass, so deep in love and I. And I will love thee still, my dear, till all the seas gang dry. Well, and it goes on. Yes. See?
Not bad.
See? It's just, that stuff just, I have no Scottish influence in my IMI and all, but it has to have a little bit of Scottish feeling to read this stuff because it's lovely things. It's a kind of thing that makes one smile. Yes, it does. Bagpipes are a big event. Tell us about the event this year. Will there be bagpipes?
Yes, you can't have a Burns supper without bagpipes.
Good to know.
Which caused some stress last year as the bagpipe player got completely lost trying to find Prairie Moon Winery.
Oh.
And she was about an hour late.
This is true.
Yeah, which, yeah. As far as I was concerned, that was almost a disaster.
Oh, so there's like one bagpipe in the state of Iowa?
No, there's quite a few, but we didn't. It's hard to find a whole group that's available that night because it's Burns. So
they're in popular demand.
That's a pretty big night for them, yeah. So we're lucky to have one. You don't want a bad bagpiper. I can tell you stories about bad bagpipers. You really do not want to economize on the bagpipe player.
Well done, well done. Yes,
I understand wonderful. It's a difficult instrument to play well.
I believe so. I've never tried.
She's coming again this year.
Yes, Sue. What's her?
Frambach.
Sue Frambach, and she's pretty well known in the Scottish bagpiping community in Des Moines. So yeah.
Very good. It does set the tone.
Yeah, I'll usually tell my story of Hamish McHamish, which is a very sad story about a guy that loved to play the bagpipes but was not very good, and so he exiled himself to the Highlands and lived on his own for many years just playing his bagpipes. And I won't give away the punchline to that story, but I probably will tell that on the 25th.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Very sad, very sad story.
And this year, the event is being held at?
Ryman Gardens.
Oh, Ryman Gardens right here. And that's a lovely place for an event like this because you sort of need room to mingle, room for the music. And and as I understand, the event this year is happening on the very birthday of Robert Burns. It doesn't happen every year.
That's true. We're lucky to have it on a Friday this year and able to capitalize on the fact that everything will be on that same day.
Oh, very good.
Say the date again.
January 25.
Ah, very good. I read this somewhere. You know, I kind of look up things. And I read that Robert Burns is really the favorite guy because the patron saint of Scotland is St. Andrew, but he kind of gets eclipsed by Robbie Burns.
I bet St. Andrew doesn't drink whiskey.
Well, I don't know. Who knows?
So tell us about the menu. Let's hear what the food is, the Scottish food that we're going to...
Yeah, obviously there's haggis.
Okay, explain haggis for our audience.
In simple terms, it's all the bits of the animal you don't normally eat. Like
a sheep,
like a hot dog.
It's a sheep, right?
it's lamb.
Yeah.
We have the heart of lamb, mm-hmm. Kidneys, and traditionally there's lung in it as well. But due to regulations over here, we are not permitted to use that part of the animal, which is fine. It tastes just fine without that. So
how is it seasoned? And does it have oatmeal? Am I right?
Oatmeal, yep.
And what's the seasoning direction of it, sort of?
They're mostly earthy type seasonings. You know, they there's obviously nothing too exotic.
Herbaceous, you would say.
Yeah, yeah. Just the
there is rosemary.
Rosemary. Okay, right.
You can smell that.
Okay, so it would probably be things that grow in Scotland, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the thing about the haggis traditionally, then this is what's the good part of the story for most people is that it is usually cooked in the stomach of a sheep. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yep.
Unfortunately, we are unable to
right,
do that.
Right, we can't
on
do that
side.
In Iowa.
Really?
Correct.
It seems like a very sausagey sort of thing. So isn't that a tradition? The stomach would seem handy for that.
Yep. It's okay, though. We use a different part of intestine, the ox bung, which does just as good. Yep.
Oh, so you just move a little further down the digestive tract, which is acceptable to the meat processors in
yes,
Iowa, right?
Yes, yeah, no problems, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's pretty important to have it in that casing because of part of the ceremony is it involves the address to the haggis, and that we'll talk more about that.
The address to the haggis.
We'll talk more about that.
So you talk to it before you...
Later. I'm not going to read it on the air.
Here. There is something called... This is also from Robert Burns. Okay? I'll read the... Now.
A poem that Robert Burns wrote about haggis. Am I getting this right?
Is,
yes.
This is the first first stanza of this thing, and bear with me, I am not Paul McDonald. And it is called, it's not a poem to a haggis. It is the address. It is very, it's just regal. People are just addressing and saluting this thing. Here it comes. Here it is brought in on a platter of some sort. Mm-hmm. It's put in the middle. And some fair person says this. Fair faw, your honest sonsy face, great chieftain o' the pudding race. Aboon them, aye ye take your place, paunch, tripe, or therm. Weel are ye, wordy your grace, as lang as my arm.
Well done.
Now, it goes on from there.
It's quite the... It's actually a parade. We parade it through the entire room with bagpipes and so forth, with the haggis being, as you said, on a platter at the vanguard of the line of people following it in.
And considering here it is in January, things are kind of bleak outside. What a night. Just get together and make a to-do
out of
it.
Lots of midwinter parties. And sort of how many people eat at this gathering? What are you planning for?
We have 80 spots.
Okay.
We don't have everything filled up yet, so there are still spots available. We're planning for 80.
Oh, very good.
A nice little crowd.
It's a nice crowd.
And so haggis, and what does one eat with haggis? Like, not ketchup, probably. What do you do? Well, besides the whiskey.
Yeah. The haggis is served as an appetizer, so it'll be on the tables for everybody to help themselves to.
Does it slice like a sausage, or does it come out more like in glops?
Almost like a meatloaf, maybe.
Oh, okay. Hmm.
Mm-hmm. But did we talk about the finale of the address?
No.
The finale of the address?
The final moment.
The important part.
This is the important part.
Which line is that?
Way in the back.
So this is the end of the address to the haggis. Okay.
Yeah, it's not quite at the end, but I can't find the exact spot now. But the finale is that the haggis is ripped open by the dagger. And so the casing gets cut open, and then the guts spill out. Yeah, it's a very, very macabre poem, actually. Very macabre.
So it's kind of like cooked really tightly in there, and it's so when you puncture whatever used to be the stomach, which would be more rounded, but now
it's intestines. More like a fat sausage, basically.
Like a fat sausage. So you puncture it, and then all the juices and everything come running
out. It spills out, yes. Yes. And it's sort of very ceremonial kind of dagger motions are made, which Paul does very well. So let me tell you about this poem. So the reason I refuse to read it is because I did read this the first year, and I practiced it for about 4 days, and it's extremely hard to read.
Oh, it's hard
because you're not Scottish.
Because I'm not Scottish.
Well, because
even
getting it off the internet, I'm really fancy getting it off the internet. It still has so many words that I'm not quite sure it is, but you can figure it out later. But it's it just rolls off the tongue of someone who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, and I went to a lot of effort. I watched a lot of YouTube videos Scotsmen reading this, and
this is probably lost on an Iowan, but you can't. It's probably not okay to be an Englishman reading like a Scotsman.
Well, it's
you're setting yourself up, right?
You're setting yourself up.
Yeah,
you're quite right. It's not ideal. That's why we've got Paul.
Oh, good. Yeah. Right, you bring the real Scotsman in. Okay, so give us just an example of your very poor Scottish imitation.
Oh, let's see. Well, I'll just read the first. Fair far, your honest, sonsy face, great chieftain, oh, the pudding race. Aboon them, at yet take your place, panic, tribe, or therm. I think I did the therm bit quite good. Weel and ye, wordy, or grace, as lang's my arm.
Bravo. Okay.
Paul's accent is actually fairly easy to understand. As in England, the accent varies massively over a fairly small geographic range. So probably one of the hardest accents to follow is the Glaswegian. In fact, I worked with the Glaswegian at the University of Surrey in England for 5 years, and even after that time, I couldn't understand a word he said. Yeah, they kind of mumble. Glaswegians mumble a little bit.
Well, but can they understand each other?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I.
Paul is actually from the Northwest, or yes, the Northwest Highland area.
Ah, so very good.
He's not from Edinburgh proper, but that's why his. It's a little easier to understand. Like, Glaswegian is very tough.
Yeah, especially if you go to downtown Glasgow on a Friday night, most of them are pretty drunk, so that makes it even harder.
It's not advisable to do that anyway.
It's not, especially if you're English.
Oh, then.
A nice Iowa girl could get away with it.
Yeah.
Probably an Englishman, no.
Well, I was at the bar. I'd just point up. Just give me one of those.
So they don't, they don't know.
They don't know. Give away my secret.
Well, this sounds like a lovely gathering. Do you have to be Scottish to come to this Burns Night dinner?
No, of course not. We can all. Even English can celebrate Burns.
Because I know there are some. There are some people of Scottish heritage and Scottish dancers. I know some. And that is all lovely. But it's nice to know that you're welcome anyway.
Of course, yes.
This is Iowa, after all. We take all comers.
Right? Even the English.
Any other good things that you're cooking for the dinner?
Yeah. What else? What do you eat with haggis?
Well.
That's only the appetizer. Then what happens?
Neeps and tatties, of course.
Oh, good.
Neeps and tatties.
So we use rutabaga and potatoes mixed.
Tatties or potatoes. Neeps would be rutabaga.
Yeah, well, I think technically speaking, turnips. They're turnips.
But turnips.
Yeah,
That's how I make it at home.
But we use rutabaga, which is similar. Which we serve for our Christmas dinners, if you remember, every year. And rutabaga is one of those things. It's very underrated.
I agree. I actually prefer rutabaga to turnips.
Yeah. I take it. Sometimes I'll take it as a side to a party or potluck, and people will try it, and they'll say, oh, my gosh, this is fantastic. What did you do to this mashed potato? Or what is this?
Yeah, watch out, because pretty soon I'm going to start singing the old Frank Zappa song about rutabagas.
Really?
Do you guys know that
one? No.
Oh, dear. Rutabaga, rutabaga. Do you know Frank Zappa?
Yeah, I remember that song.
So he has a rutabaga song.
Well, it's good. All these things are covered in the arts. I do like
absolutely.
Rutabagas are fantastic.
Rutabaga, it's a fabulous word. Also, Carl Sandburg has two children's books called The Rutabaga Stories. Mm-hmm. Just that rutabaga, great word.
So here's a question for you: What do we call rutabagas in the UK?
Swede.
Oh, that's right. They are called the Swede.
They're called Swedes, yeah.
Yeah.
Swedes.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah. We don't know why, right? Because people in Sweden eat them. Why are they called Swedes?
Well, you guys changed the name. I mean, we always called them Swedes, and for some reason you started calling them
rutabagas. Rutabaga came along somewhere. All right, I will have to do a little research there.
Yeah.
Okay. And what is the main course for the din-din?
Oh, yeah, sorry, getting back to the actual...
Well,
it's a kitchen show, you know.
Yeah, let me finish off talking about the neeps and tatties. So and we use rutabaga rather than turnip and mix it in with potato. And unlike when we're doing Christmas dinner with rutabaga, we kind of blend it so it's more like a mash. But with the neeps and tatties, it's a little bit more coarsely mashed. So it's mashed rather than kind of creamed.
Mm-hmm.
And then add a bit of pepper, maybe a bit of milk, sometimes a little bit of sugar. And that's kind of a staple.
Mm-hmm.
So that is prominent on the menu. Then there'll be beef, of course, roast beef.
Oh, roast
beef. So we have an oven roasted beef.
What kind of cut do you use?
I think we're going to use rump roast for this.
Okay, so it's like a sliced roast beef.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Brussels sprouts and carrots and gravy and just big pile of food, basically.
Ooh.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
It sounds
good. Winter's dinner.
Good, simple, basic,
okay.
Wholesome.
Now, what about dessert?
I'll let April talk about dessert because she's much more knowledgeable on it.
Well, last year we did a traditional Cranachan dessert, which is...
Oh, a Cranachan!
Actually, it's quite easy. It's whipped cream with honey, whiskey, if you put that in there, and raspberries and oats.
Oats!
Quite easy. Oats.
Oh, very nice.
This year we're hoping to use more of a bar, make a Cranachan bar, which is mostly the same items. But if we're not able to create one that's... perfect. We will use, again, the Cranachan whipped cream dessert from last year.
So are the oats, like, toasted and sprinkled on or something?
Mm-hmm. And they're part of the mix as well.
Okay, so it's like kind of like putting granola in the whipped cream with the raspberries?
A little bit, sure.
And do add the whiskey. That would definitely give it the distinct.
It would at home. However, I worry about people having allergies. And
to whiskey?
I know somebody who does, actually, and that's the only reason I would have even thought about
it. I'll be darned.
So things like that I don't prefer to add to a group dinner when I don't know everybody, because you never know.
No, you should do it and post a warning.
Well, okay. However, we can do that too. Here's your warning, folks.
Okay, or here's the option. The whiskey or the not whiskey.
Very good.
Oh, so what kind of whiskey do you serve?
Well,
that's quite a bit.
Not how much. What kind?
Quite a few labels.
Choices. Choices. Oh. Most likely, we haven't made the final decision, but most likely it will be some of the favorites. So Macallan, of course.
Glenfiddich.
Talisker. What else?
Are you going to do a flight so someone can taste all of them by comparison?
There will be one of our distributors there, and she will be sampling some whiskeys that we don't normally carry. So, I'm not sure which ones yet. We're going to find that out in the next couple of days. But
it's worth going just for the whiskey education. Yep.
So that'll be free. So there'll be free samplings, and then
Sounds dangerous.
And a cash bar.
And then a cash bar. There'll be more.
That'd be lovely. This sounds like a lovely event coming up. You are listening to KHOI, and this is Tasty Radio for the heart of Iowa. We're back. This is the Donalana Kitchen. We are talking about an upcoming event here in Ames, and actually this event happens in many places all around the world. The Robert Burns Scottish Dinner is celebrated, and we have people here in Ames who are nice enough to organize, and this is their third year doing it. We're here with Marcus Johnson and April Roy to tell us about this event. And Marcus, tell us about the venue, where this is going to happen.
And the history.
Let me start with the venue then. This is our third year doing it. And the first year we were at Ryman Gardens. Then we had it at Prairie Moon. And this year we're back at Ryman Gardens. And I'm very excited about that. It's just a lovely spot, lovely venue. It's very convenient. So it's in town. Most people are very familiar with it. And they're very easy to work with. Those folks at Ryman Gardens really, really love this location. And the spot, it's the garden room. I'm sure most of your listeners are familiar with the gardens and the garden room. And it just works perfectly for us. So I'm really happy that we're doing it at that location.
You know, we need to re-mention that Marcus is the proprietor of the Mucky Duck Pub. So he is well into presenting foods in the community.
Yes, I've been forcing our British foods on the community of Ames for many years now.
Yes, he's quite good at it.
Very good. So what exactly, there's an there's an order to this. You don't just show up and throw around music and food and haggis.
And swords.
And swords.
And whiskey. That sounds good.
Tell us about the program for the evening.
Yeah, I think we're at 5:30.
5:30 to 6:30 for cocktails.
For cocktails, and there'll be a cheese table there, so you can help yourself to some imported cheeses. So we'll have great cheeses like Cranberry, Wensleydale, and Stilton. And
we're getting a little English here.
Yeah, well, you know, I've got to throw that English.
Oh, okay.
In. I don't think the Scots are.
Do they have cheese?
Well, some good Scottish cheeses.
I'm not aware of any.
Oh, there must be something, but okay.
Well, it's like beer. I mean, the Scottish aren't very good at making beer.
Right, but they have whiskey, so
but
they don't need
they
beer.
They have whiskey, yes.
Right.
So we'll have a cheese table, cheese and crackers with some nice imported cheeses, and then, of course, the cocktail hour. So people can come. It's a Friday. We normally do this on Saturday, so we figured we'd give people a little bit extra time to
unwind,
get to the venue and to socialize. And to people might be coming sort of at slightly different times as they get off work. So that first hour is just to sort of mingle, unwind, chat, eat and drink a little bit. Yeah.
And then?
Well, April, what do we have next?
Then we begin with the address to the haggis to bring everybody to their seats and into the room. That involves everybody, including the pipers. And we bring the haggis in. Well, Mr. McDonald, we do that and take the final stab. And from there, we invite everybody to sit down. We say the grace, the Selkirk grace, which was, I believe, written by Burns. I'm not 100% on that. And then we have dinner. And after things are winding down for dinner and dessert, we will have poetry readings and possibly a performance of To a Mouse. We've tried to do that the last couple of years.
Performance of what?
One of Burns's poems is called To a Mouse.
To a Mouse, okay. Mm-hmm.
And we'll have everybody read something if they like. And
not in Gaelic.
No. Not unless they like. And there is something in the program called The Immortal Memory. And Mr. McDonald will also be handling that. It's a heartfelt tribute to Robert Burns. And then
that someone else wrote?
It's from Paul's heart. It's kind of off the cuff.
Okay.
Just some sort of tribute to his homeland and Robert Burns. And then we begin dancing.
Is it dancing to the bagpipe?
No. we have two very experienced Scottish dancers coming to lead our Cayley, and they'll be instructing in several different types of Gaelic or Scottish dancing, and that'll go on until, I believe, it's 10:30, and we finish the evening with Auld Lang Syne, everybody singing together and ending the night with the best tribute of all, because everybody knows Auld Lang Syne, even if they don't know who Robert Burns was to begin with.
It's true.
That's lovely.
So I think the important thing is, because, you know, we like you guys, care about community, I want people to participate in the poetry reading. I don't want it to just be two people reading poems. So we, as always, try to get the audience to come up and read.
Does that mean you'll be passing around various Robert Burns poems for people to read?
Something like that.
Excellent.
Yep.
Very good.
Because I remember this poem that Lana read, The Red, Red Rose, in my high school English literature class, we had to read that one. And
we all know. We all know him already.
I don't know if they still read The Red, Red Rose in Midwestern small town high schools, but we did once upon a time.
There we go. Very good. Well, I'm always amazed at the community aspect of what you do, Marcus. The Mucky Duck has been a lovely addition to this community, and the Burn Center is just one part of the thing you do. You've had Christmas dinners, you have quiz nights, you have lots of good beer, and your pub is a lovely place to be. You had something for New Year's. Was this your first time you had a New Year's Eve ball drop?
Yes, it was the first time.
Why should Times Square in New York be the only place? I think the fact that we had one here in Ames.
Those were my thoughts exactly, yes.
Yeah.
I don't relate to anything that goes on in Times Square on New Year's Eve. So,
no. Go out and drop your own bunch of stuff. Good.
So explain the engineering. What exactly did you do? Well, we don't have any skyscrapers.
I created this so-called ball, which didn't look like a ball, actually, but it was just some wood with some Christmas lights wrapped around it. And
you have to start somewhere, Marcus.
Yeah, I hoisted it about 20 feet in the air. And then
on a tree or on what?
On a light pole. Yep. And then actually it it nearly killed me the first time because it actually broke and it landed, the 6 foot half inch steel pipe landed about 2 feet away from my head. So that would have been the end of New Year's Eve.
Good engineering there.
Yeah. Second time around, I hoisted it up again, and then for New Year's Eve on the count of 10, instead of a controlled, boring kind of slow descent, I just let it go, and it came crashing to the ground. And
everyone cheered, right?
And everyone cheered. We had one of my customers has a mock-up cannon, which he fired. And it wasn't super loud, actually, but it made a lot of smoke, which was cool. Yeah. And,
See, the idea of a community celebration.
Look, we entertain ourselves in this town.
What
here.
A nice thing.
We do what we have nice to do, yeah. Yep. Yep.
What a nice thing.
Yep. I think we had a... You know, it wasn't a crazy kind of environment. We were full, but not completely packed. So it was nice, and we played games that involved, you know, multiple people at once, which again is kind of community based. So that's the sort of thing I love. And instead of watching, I like live music a lot, but sometimes I think it's better to have people all involved, and instead of watching.
Because we get too passive in our entertainment.
We do,
days.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Very much.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and it's, sometimes you have to push people a little bit. And there was one table on that night that I could see they were struggling a little bit and were resisting, but, you know.
You should stick a dagger under their face, under their nose, yeah. Right?
People want to, deep down, they want to be involved.
Course.
They just don't know it.
Well, yeah, here we are. Let's remember how to play. Playing is important.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Thanks for doing the ball drop. Yeah, and be careful next year. My gosh, it's a pretend or a pipe. Oh, you
well,
have
he's experienced now.
Tell us about your new venture on Main Street.
That's right. Well, we have a new venue.
We actually have two things going on Main Street. The one of them is basically a small retail shop because, as you know, we used to be neighbors. We used to have the store just across the road, and I loved that because I could come to your parties, and it was very easy, but not so easy now. But, you know, the Mucky Duck's been fantastic. It's worked out really well, but there's part of me that misses Main Street. You know, I love the community down here. I love Main Street. I love going out for lunch and walking down the street and bumping into people and supporting other businesses.
Listen, Main Street is much more glorious than it was a few years ago.
It is,
with
yes.
Lots of new businesses.
Oh, absolutely. It's mm-hmm. thriving, and that's fantastic. And I want to be part of that. And it's kind of a long story, but I've wanted to be part of it for a while. And I found the location, the perfect location. My friend Suzanne, she used to have the little book room, which was close to the downtown deli. But she mostly, you know, stopped using that. And so I asked her if she would mind if I took that space off her, and she said yes. So we moved in there.
So now it's full of, like, little English goodies and treats. And
British, yeah, British goodies, yeah. So keep correct, yeah. British.
British.
That includes the Scottish, then.
Oh, so oh, I
we
see.
Don't,
okay.
We don't want to let them make them feel left
okay.
out.
So lots of packages with thistles and Scottish flags. And
yeah. And, well, what happened was...
So it's mostly food things.
There's a mixture. Yeah. Yeah, we have some... we had a lot of Christmas stuff. Which we, the pub is I love the pub, but it's sometimes hard to...
It's a pub.
It's not really a retail store, mm-hmm. and so people can't browse very easily. And so what the store downtown enables us to do is to set things out in a more browsable way, and that works better for people that just specifically want to buy
very
things.
Very good. Does the store have a name?
It's called British and American Foods and Gifts.
Very yep. good. Yep. We will look for that. And it's downtown next to the downtown deli.
Yes. So, yeah.
On
three,
Main Street.
328 Main Street.
328
yep.
Main Street.
Yeah. And we're kind of deciding now that the Christmas stuff is mostly gone, we're trying to decide what our sort of focal area will be. And with April and I are talking about that. And we think we might go in a sort of more Celtic direction and do, you know, Celtic gifts and
Trinkets and jewelry and maybe kilts. Because 90% of men on the planet should be wearing them.
I think so, too. And they're ever so much fun to dance in. I guess they do. Speaking of things at your new store, there is a little box or a little container here that looks really yummy. Tell us what you brought.
Yes, it's a tin.
It's a tin. It's some Scottish fudge. The Scots are obviously... Would you like one?
Scottish fudge.
Fudge, yep. It's obviously got a thistle on it.
Ah.
And this is just a vanilla fudge. So we'll make lots of unwrapping noises on the microphone here. chewing noise.
This tastes like, it's not Scottish, but remember last year the English guy from the Lake District came, who's a shepherd, to talk about traditional farming in that area.
Oh, he's a PFI guy.
Yes. And he brought something. What did he call it? Do you remember? He brought something that it wasn't cut and wrapped in squares, but it tasted exactly like this. And he said it's where the queen buys her whatever this was called in his district. Do you remember the name of what it was?
No, but it was good because I ate it all up.
Yeah. Very, very similar to this in texture and color. And I would say it's butter and sugar.
Butter and sugar.
Yep.
What a good thing. Mm-hmm. Now, see, we needed some of this on Main Street, and there it is.
Right. If you say fudge here, it means it has chocolate in it.
Generally.
But this is not chocolate.
Yeah.
No.
It almost tastes caramely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's basically the same ingredients as...
Yeah.
Caramel, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's amazing what...
Apparently the queen
amazing.
Needs this, too.
You can take those ingredients and just a different...
Yeah, butter and sugar.
They become totally different things just by how you cook them.
just stir up a big batch, bring in the community, and work toward world peace. I think it is all... It's all in there,
right,
sugar
give
and
them
butter.
Sugar,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, very good. Give us the information again about the Robert Burns dinner, the date and all, and how to contact you for more information.
Can you buy the tickets at the store?
No. The reason we don't do that is because what happens is people try to buy them at different places and it gets confusing. So we've put it all on one.
You're not that organized, I guess.
Yes. April will attest to that. Yeah, I do
my best to lasso him in.
Thank you, April. Thank her. Give us that contact information one more time.
The website is www.ticketbud.com, and you can do an event search for Ames Burns Dinner, I believe it is, or you can just put Burns Dinner. There's many ways to search. You'll be able to find it.
Oh, good. Okay. That would be easier to remember than Highland something or other.
The Highland, Midwest Highland Intensive. Well, if you're a sword fighter, you want to check that one out, though.
Sword fighter, good food, a good evening. This is a lovely thing, and we thank you for bringing the Burns dinner to Ames and the Mucky Duck to Ames, too. Thank you very much. This is the KHOI, and this is the Donalana Kitchen. You can find out more at khoifm.org or on our website. Go to khoifm.org. Look for the Donalana Kitchen there. We have a recipe page. All our past shows are there. You can listen to more Donalana Kitchens than you ever wanted to listen to before. Thanks to Gio, our website coordinator. Welcome back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We are back. There is something coming up in a couple weeks. The PFI conference, which
Practical
happens every
Farmers
year,
of Iowa,
is coming up, and they have workshops. They have short courses. They have long courses. They have a Friday potluck, and Saturday is a wonderful gathering of farmers learning and sharing information
and eating together.
Oh, that's coming up January 17th, 18th, and 19th, and here is a PFI member who grows foods for her local market near Iowa City. Let's hear what Kate Edwards, a PFI member, says about the upcoming workshop. And she's going to have a session on onions. What does she have to say?
My name is Kate Edwards. I am owner and operator of Wildwoods Farm near the Iowa City area, and I produce vegetables for 200 families throughout 6 months of the year. At this year's PFI conference, I'm going to be talking about storage onion production. Having a really good handle on those staple crops can really help in a challenging year when maybe there's other crops that aren't going to do as well or things like that. If you always know that you have a staple crop that you can fill the box with, that's really helpful. So I've been growing onions for 8 years as a farmer, as a gardener before that. And my first year I grew, I went to the local hardware store and I got some bulbs and I grew really small onions. And I grew one sack of onions for the entire year. And now I plant about 30 to 40,000 onions, and we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds of onion production each year. From the beginning of the year, we think about procurement of our starts. We think about how we're going to handle those, how we're going to plant them. If you have a lot of weeds, the production size is going to really be dramatically different. So we think a lot about weed control when it comes to onions. But then once you harvest them, what are you going to do with them? There's a process of trimming them and storing them and then getting them out to customers. I have lots of things that I figured out in the onion production process, and I'll be talking about those. But there's also some things that I'm still learning on, and we'll talk about through some of those things at the onion production session as well.
That was Kate Edwards talking about her upcoming workshop at the Practical Farmers of Iowa conference. To find out more about that, go to www.practicalfarmers.org. And thanks to Nick Odie for that audio. So we've had a dandy time today. Well, somehow food connects up to a lot of different things. We've been talking with Marcus Johnson and April Roy. And Marcus, you wanted to say a little bit about this event. We've been talking about community, too, and how important it is to have community gatherings.
The history of your Robert Burns night.
Yeah, well, we'd attended Burns suppers in the past as vendors, a really, really nice one in the Twin Cities. And I know of other events in Des Moines and Cedar Rapids and Omaha. And I just thought, you know, Ames needs to have one, too.
We are big enough
we
for
are
that.
Big enough for that, yep. And you know, I wanted ours to be... The one in Minneapolis is very formal, so I wanted ours to be kind of formal like that. Some of them are not as formal, but
does that mean one should dress up to
Well,
go?
Yeah, dress up a little bit, you know, you don't have to go too much, but just look nice.
And what do Scottish ladies wear?
April?
Beautiful dresses and a slash of their family tartan.
Oh, yep. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, go all out and get out the pretty dresses. And,
absolutely.
You know, yeah. It's kind of nice to make it a do.
Dancing dresses.
Well, yeah.
It's nice to, you know, people that know that I'm not always the smartest looking chap. So, but it's nice once in a while to dress up and look.
So is that to say Marcus is going to dress up for this event?
I am, yeah. But
he cleans up real good.
April's husband is going to show me how to put my kilt on properly this year.
Marcus is wearing a kilt. Okay.
That's true.
Okay.
Yes. Very
good. Is that all right for an Englishman to wear a Scottish?
Yes, it's perfectly okay. Yes. Oh, okay. Wear a generic one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because Bonnie Prince Charles is always wearing his kilts.
Yeah. Well, we like
the
that.
English crown is wearing his kilts. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's okay.
Kind of people feel about
absolutely.
That.
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
very good. Do you have any Burns specials during the week of the Burns birthday? Do you celebrate anything special at your pub?
Actually, we had not planned on it, but that's a good idea. We should do something, of course. Yeah.
I don't know.
Shouldn't let the supper steal all of the glory, should I?
Put a thistle up.
And at least have some rounds of whiskey or something.
Yeah, we will talk about that and make sure we do something.
Well, at least something to raise a glass because, well, it's just so pleasant to go out there and have something to toast. Very good. Yep. Very good. Oh.
So we have all these midwinter events coming up, plenty to do. Just in case it snows, we still have plenty to do,
yes.
Right?
That's lovely. That's lovely. Oh, and you also, perhaps, you also have these quiz night things, which I think are absolutely wonderful. You could have some Scottish questions.
Oh, yes. With the Mucky Duck.
We'll have some Scottish questions, yes.
I probably won't do so good at that. But somehow doing that, you don't necessarily have to know everybody in the room. That's nice. You get to meet people that you don't know, yep. Which is, I think, what a pub should be for.
That makes me so happy when I see total strangers coming in the pub and leaving us, exchanging email addresses, buying each other drinks. That's what community is all about.
and you've got lots more room now because you moved all of your store equipment out to the Main Street location. So congratulations. And we will be looking forward to many good events from the Mucky Duck. Very good. We've been talking about the Burns Night Dinner. We've had music today by a really fine group called Saucy Bess. And I want to mention that the fiddler for Saucy Bess...
Are they Scottish?
Yeah, well, most of them are, except Catherine Miller. She's an Ames girl. She lived here for a while, and she used to play the fiddle, and I used to call dances to her. But she is matched up with Mike McNitch and Tom Pixton playing keyboards and the small pipes, and they have a group called Saucy Bess, and they play lovely stuff. You've heard a set called the Fraser Jig Set, the Braes of Castle Grant Set, and we'll go out with something called Return to Kindale. Now, Scottish music sets often start out slow and kind of air-like, and then they move on toward to jigs, and then end up with reels, so there's always a nice feeling with Scottish music. I do love that sort of thing.
Just to remind you, Lana is a dance caller. Well, in case you didn't pick that up in this discussion,
In this kitchen show, I often use the word dance because I think that's important too. You got to make
dance
room
in
for
the kitchen too, right?
Make room for the good food too. You're listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. You can listen to the Donna Lana Kitchen every Tuesday at noon and repeat at 7 p.m. in the evening. Or you can go to khoifm.org, find the streaming section there. You can download us onto your device. Or you can go to our archives and find all these shows that you missed and share them with friends. Yes, you can. This is Community Radio. Community Radio depends on you for your support. If we're in your ears, put us in your heart and send us some of your support. Support this fine station. My name is Lana Noctical.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We have had excellent engineering, as usual, by Evan Taylor. Eat good food and enjoy life.